Hi, I'm Greg Mangum, founder and voluntary CEO of Only a Pavement Away, the charity that supports people looking to rebuild their lives through employment opportunities in hospitality. Today, Only a Pavement Away has placed 780 people into work, adding an approximate value of over £29 million back into the economy and society. This is our podcast series, Serving Success, where we explore how this amazing industry is truly driving change, supporting people to rebuild their lives and adding real value back into the communities. I've got to say here that hospitality is the best industry there is. In everything the industry is facing, at no time at all has the industry ever reduced its funding to us or the support it gives Only a Pavement Away. So if you're listening out there from hospitality, a big thanks to you all. This month, I couldn't be happier to introduce to you one of our very own members, Paul. Was introduced to the program in 2021. We met in
2020,
yeah, around that area, yeah, at the Life Skills Hub program.
That's right.
That was the forerunner of what we now call Passport to Employment. And you were one of our first, as we called it, graduates.
And I'm very honoured to have been part of that.
Yeah, and you're now a goods receiver at the
Ivy, yeah.
At the Ivy Collection, Ivy Asia in the King's Road. And big shout out to the Ivy who continually support us and continually take our members on board. We talk a lot about how we support our members and ensure that they can not only find employment, but also sustain employment to truly break the cycle of homelessness. So it's an honour to be able to welcome Paul here today to share his story directly with you all. I've got to say here that it's quite an honour for me because I don't have the tenacity or the courage to do what you've done. And I think people out there, if they're listening to this and thinking, oh, wow, they need to listen to you, they need to meet you, because if ever there's a shining example of how to get back into society, I've never heard you complain.
Never.
You're that epitome of someone who give me another go. And I think our other 779 members, if they wanted to have an example, then you're the kiddie. So
thank you.
Yeah, you're truly an inspiration to us. All right, I know that when I was coming here today, Jill and my wife were sort of saying, you know, pass on my regards and us, the whole family, the whole Only a Pavement Away charity, the trustees.
Thank you.
Talk about you. And, you know, we love having you as our poster boy, really.
So, thank you.
So I don't want to go back and dredge through some of the hard times, but if you could talk to us about your story.
Of course.
How you were introduced to Only a Pavement Away, the situation you were facing, and, you know, what were the challenges and the turning point? And this is just a chat. Only say what you feel comfortable
of
saying.
Course,
because
of course.
The story is all about the life you've made and the example you are to all of us.
Okay, so during the pandemic of 2021, I believe, I was working in a kitchen in a pub in South London, and the landlord had shut numerous times during that year, during the pandemic. And at the end of the year, the pub shut. I was living in the pub, so I became homeless due to the fact. So Christmas 2021, I found myself on the streets of South London. Not a good move. So I had to wait for the outreach team to come find me, which took them a few weeks to do. So I was on the street over Christmas into the new year and into January, when I was finally rescued by the outreach team of Lambeth, where they put me into a hospital first, where I had to be sorted out because I had COVID at the time. So I never even knew that. So I had COVID. I was released from hospital. Then I went to a hostel in Brixton, where I'd stayed there for a little while to get my case sorted out. And then I was started onto the system journey, where I was put into professional housing, and then to temporary housing, and then da 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 da. So yeah, a charity got in touch with me called the St. Barnabas Charity, and I was introduced to them. And during their course, I was introduced to another charity called Only a Pavement Away, Greg, which you are actually the boss of, which is amazing.
Could you tell the team that?
I shall, indeed. And during this course, I was able to restart my life. I joined an employment program on the course, where I was able to sort my skills out again, get my confidence back up, because I'd lost a lot of confidence from being on the street. I lost a lot of who I was and what I wanted to do. But Greg and the team was able to sort myself out, and I was able to get into a job into the Ivy, which I still have today. 4 years later,
one of our longest serving members. And I think, and I know when I talk to sort of family and friends, you know, and they talk, oh, tell us about your charity. I think when you sort of say you run the streets for a while, when I tell them about you, it changes their whole perception of a rough sleeper. You know, it wasn't drink, it wasn't drugs.
No, not at all.
It wasn't that you didn't want to work. It was just that life dealt you a couple of cruel blows.
Yeah.
And that when they see that person on the street, it just shows that it could be any of us. So if you're listening out there, and the next time you walk past a rough sleeper, just remember that could be you, folks. We've touched on the Life Skills Hub, which was a programme that preceded Passport to Employment.
We did.
Going back, and I know it's 4 or 5 years, and you've probably got a far better memory than me because you're younger than me. How did it set you up? What did you get out of that?
Well, Greg, being able to get up in the morning and having somewhere to go was the most amazing thing for me at that time, to have something to do, to have an excuse, to know that I'd worth in myself. And during the courses that I was presented to me, I was able to redefine who I was and get my ID back, get my strength back, my confidence and the knowledge to know that I could move forward without having to feel sorry for myself and getting depressed about things. The confidence that I got from the course was amazing, and it set me up for who I am today.
And I think that's amazing that you said that, because we've had a Passport to Employment programme. There was a young lady on it who said it's the first time that she's wanted to get up at 7 o'clock. And during one of the courses, there was a strike on one day. She walked. And then she came out and told us that the reason she never worked is because her mum had an addiction. And she used to look after her mum. But she said her whole sense of pride came back. That she was getting up, putting on a blouse and skirt, coming to a course. And by day three, she was sharing everything in her life with everyone. So, yeah, I think pleased to see that Life Skills Hub sort of set
Well, the set courses that were given to me, Greg, they made me feel important again, you know. So the importance I felt gave me the value I knew I had, and I was able to move on with the confidence that the courses gave me, for sure.
Yeah. So the Life Skills Hub, folks, was a 3-week course that we put together that Only a Payment Away were running to help people with their P&L, get their confidence, their CV. We soon came to the conclusion we weren't going to do weeks 2 and 3. We were going to send people out on work experience, and now it's morphed into Passport to Employment, where we normally work on the basis that 80 to 90% of those who attend get a job. So look, what was it like in your first day in the role at the Ivy?
Well,
how did you feel?
Well, from being homeless and not really knowing what to do with myself, and then finally having a job, I knew that I had to fix myself up, you know, step up and become the person that I used to be when I was working before. So getting into the Ivy, I quickly established myself as a kitchen porter, which was the first job I had there. And then after a year, I got moved up to prep chef. Then a year later, I got moved up to jobs receiver. So now I'm doing the ordering and the deliveries of the Ivy Asia, all by myself.
Well, and that is it's a fantastic establishment. So what are you most proud of achieving since you started to roll at the Ivy Collection? I know there's the promotions, but
I'm just proud of the fact that I'm able to get up, show up, turn up, be there, do the job I've got to do, make people happy around me, and get involved with the actual hospitality sector, which is caring for people and feeding the people and looking after people. So I love doing that. I love looking after people. So every day I make sure everyone around me is happy, and staff and customers are all having a good day.
Yeah. And the future?
I'm hoping to maybe move on as a stock controller in another position one day.
Right.
But for now, job receiving is what I want to do. I'm very happy being there.
You enjoy doing it, don't you?
I very do.
Oh, I imagine you get a lot of stuff coming through the doors as well, don't you, on the stock?
Of course, yeah. It's a lot of stock and deliveries and invoices. They all have their challenges every day, but I'm able to stay calm and get the job done.
Yeah, I can imagine. I remember on that Life Skills Hub, there were some other candidates on there who were nervy. And
yes.
Lacking confidence. And I know you sat down, I think we had a guy on there who had a very bad speech impediment, and we had a young guy
that had
real mental health issues.
Through,
and I know you took them to one side and kept them calm. I know you kept me and Dolores calm when we were delivering it and thought, this course isn't going the way it should be going.
I wanted to make sure that it was a positive experience for everybody there, Greg.
Oh, you did, definitely. So what makes hospitality industry so special? Why is it such a great sector to support, you know?
I believe that everybody can get involved. I believe everybody has the skill to cook and to care for people. So everybody has the underlying skills for the job of hospitality. Because many hours are spent in the kitchen or restaurants and bars, I feel that many people feel that they're second life is with their family. So when they're coming to work, I feel they're coming to work to be with their second family. So once you've got a great team around you, the support you can give each other and everything out of work, inside work, it can all be talked about with your pals and your friends and the managers, and the support we all get. It's amazing hospitality. You know, there's nothing that you can hide. There's always things you can do, people you can talk to, and the family network that I have at work now keeps me coming back every single day. So I'll never give up.
Yeah, that I remember when I first started when I was 15, which is donkey's years ago. There was a man called Gordon Bold at a company called Schooner Inns, which no one would have heard of now unless you're my age. And he just said, you don't want to be a potboy all your life.
No.
And I remember him inviting my mum and dad up for a meal, and he talked to them all about Westminster Hotel School. He came with my dad to get me the interview. And I think it is along the line, you meet people like the Gordon Bolds and the people you said that are... that team camaraderie, isn't it?
Inspirational people that can keep me coming back every day. You know, I like to be part of a good team and know my value and know that I'm doing something good every day for the restaurant.
So what would you say to someone who is currently going through what you went through? Because, you know, there's the government are telling us there's 330,000 people who are facing homelessness. I think everybody's readily accepting that there's a lot of mums on night buses and night tubes, families, going up and down with their families because they've nowhere to live. So outside of Come and Join Only a Payment Away, what would you say to someone who's currently going through what you went through? What's going to make you come out the other end like you did?
Well, Greg, the first few days of me being homeless, I'm not going to lie, it was a little bit of a holiday. You know, I didn't really think it was going to be that scary and as serious as it was, because during the pandemic, the government did say only one night on the street. So when me and my girlfriend thought this, we thought I'll be there for one night and then get put up and I'll be all right, get back to the family again. But my missus and my kids had COVID. I had COVID, so we were separated from then. But during the first few days of being homeless, it wasn't much of a problem. It was when I sort of needed to wash and use the bathroom, and then people on the street were stealing my things. So it was a nightmare. But I used the resilience I had in me and focus that I needed to get through it. So every night I went to bed as I normally would, woke up in the morning and did as I normally would, as I would at home. But it was getting difficult as the weeks went on. I was getting more dirty. I had no money now. The pandemic had stripped the streets of people, so there was no way of getting anything from anywhere. So I was able just to focus and move forward and not give up.
So Paul, if you met the Pauls of today in that situation, what would you say to them?
If I was to meet someone homeless on the street now and I was able to get a conversation with them, I would tell them to not give up, to start to feel that giving up would not be the right thing to go to, and to get in touch with charities, i.e. Only a Pavement Away, I feel would be the best way forward. I would tell the individual to know that they are important and to start to feel the value for themselves. I would just have a conversation with them about normal life and try to get in touch with the human inside them and not the homeless person that everybody sees.
And I think the important thing is here, we do a thing called CEO Sleep Out, where we take CEOs and MDs and we go to Lord's Cricket Ground and we sleep out for a night. And I think it's almost like an epiphany for them, because, you know, you're bedded down at 2 o'clock. It's in the late November. You're freezing cold. Everybody's brought their jelly babies and their Pringles and their flask, you know. But it is that at 2 o'clock in the morning, someone wants to go to the loo. They trip over someone and then we're all awake. And then you realise that you're sleeping out with police sirens going past, cars going past. So you don't get that proper night's sleep and you're on concrete. Yeah. And I think when Jill and I started the charity, you know, and people said, oh, we're going to help homeless people and, you know, get the rough sleepers off the street. It was just, when I did a CEO Sleep Out, it was just such one hell of an awakening for me. And I know that other people who came on it with me and still do it are saying it just makes them think, I've got a different view. I've got a different view. And I think that's where I said right at the beginning, it's your courage, your strength, your tenaciousness. And if you're a hospitality employer out there and you want someone who's got courage, who's going to work hard, doesn't want to go back on the street, isn't going to give up, is tenacious, then you're the epitome of that, and the people who have suffering setbacks like yourself. So what would you want people to understand about homelessness that they don't? What would you say to people out there?
I feel being homeless, as I said, the first few days didn't really hit me too much. It was after I had no money, I started getting dirty, I needed a shave, I wanted normal household things to be happening to me. your brain starts to turn off and degenerate a little bit. You know, you start to think that what could I do if I needed money? What would I do if I wanted money? You know, your brain starts to get a little bit less human because you've got nothing else to think about in your day, nowhere to go, no one to talk to, no one to contact. You know, my phone was dead. I had nothing. It was the pandemic. I was on the street. The people around me were people that I didn't necessarily want to be with, but I seemed to be attracting the people that I didn't want to be around, you know. So I was sat outside a church with a lot of undesirable people at the time, you know. So I just had to switch off but remain focused and not get involved with the easy life that could have been presented to me with the drugs and the alcohol that could have taken the sting out of what I was going through. But I knew that I had to go through it. I knew I wasn't going to give up, and I knew that there was going to be a way out.
Yeah,
and I never gave up.
And if you don't want to talk about it, you don't have to. But from conversations we've had, I know you got placed into a hostel, didn't you?
I did, yes.
That was. I remember you ringing me and telling me, "How do I get out of here, Greg? Because it wasn't the best moment. To have left the streets and then have a roof over your head.
And it got worse.
It got worse, didn't it?
It got worse. I was safer on the street, Greg. When I got put into the hostel, there was hundreds of people that had been housed up quickly during the pandemic. So there's people off the street fresh. I'd been there for a long, long time. And the problems they had were a lot greater than mine, Greg. So when I locked myself into my little room at night, the screaming and the banging and the shouting and the begging and the every night, every day, until I got moved into temporary accommodation. And then I got put into a house with a few more of them, people that were in the hostel. So I never got away from the situation that I didn't want to be in. And then when I got the job at the Ivy, I was living in temporary accommodation with the people that were on the street. So I was always seeming that I was always the odd one out of wherever I was, which wasn't good until I got my own place. And then now I'm fully sorted.
And you're all settled there, aren't you?
Fully sorted.
Yeah, and you've got the family background you and everything.
Of course.
Yeah, brilliant. So we always finish our episodes, which you'll be pleased to know when I say finish, you haven't got to listen to me ramble on for much longer, with some quick fire round questions.
Of course.
What's your favourite thing about hospitality?
The food, Greg. I love food, you know. I love working around food. I love the smell of food. I love prepping the food. I love food. I know everyone loves food too, so.
Yeah, they do. I know when I was a sort of a commie chef, I don't know if I'm supposed to say this actually, but I worked for a very large hotel chain, and that's where I got my first verbal warning. Not that I've had a lot, but they caught me eating the strawberry tartlets behind the dumb waiter. But if someone said to me, when my mum said, would you do that again? Oh yeah, you haven't tasted the strawberry tartlets, mum. It's the food.
The food at the Ivy is amazing.
Yeah.
I do love to indulge.
Yeah, I'd just like to point this out to Laura. It wasn't her food that I was eating at the time, you know. Favourite meal to order at a restaurant?
Oh, it's got to be a steak or ribs or scampi if I'm feeling that way, but normally a steak. Would definitely
maybe mix the scampi and the steak
of
together?
Of course, yeah. A bit of surf and turf,
yeah.
That's right.
What's the best advice you've ever received?
To never give up, Greg. To get up, to show up, to make people happy around you, no matter what you're going through, to try to project happiness into everybody else, because you could make someone's day, you could change someone's life by having a positive attitude. So that's what I try to do every single day on there.
And if you could have dinner with any figure in the hospitality world, past or present, who would it be and why? You can't pick me because
I think Gordon
Ramsay.
We've
had too many lunches together.
I think Gordon Ramsay would be a good person for me to meet, just to see if he is as aggressive as he is on the TV. I don't think he portrays who he is, really, so I'd like to meet the real Gordon Ramsay.
Just to
take the fear away from what he always looks like on the TV.
Yeah, and I think the interesting thing about mentioning Gordon Ramsay is that Tom Aitkins, our patron, I was with him on Monday night, and said that you and I were getting together. So he sent you his best wishes.
Thank you.
You cooked with him at our Dine event. Yeah, so that. Describe hospitality in one word.
Needed. It has to be done. People need to be helping each other, cooking and cleaning and looking after people in such a way that hospitality grows, because without it, I don't think there is much else that we can do for each other nowadays.
I think maybe we should send that message to Rachel Reeves. So, no, definitely they were number one industry. Coming from someone who's
definitely number
been
one,
there
of
at
course.
The front. So what guest would you like to hear on the next one of these? I know that's, you know, it doesn't have to be someone you've met, but is there someone out there that you think, God, I'd like to hear them talk?
I'm not sure, Greg. I think everybody needs to be heard on what they think about hospitality, really. I'm not sure one person would clear it. I think everyone could have the chance to feel how and say how they feel about the industry.
Paul, it's been fantastic talking to you.
Thank you so much.
I can't thank you enough for joining us today. It's incredible to see how far you've come and what the future holds for you. And you know that Jill and I are in awe of you, of what you've done.
Thank you.
We're really proud of you. A big thanks to our sponsors, the Stonegate Group, which is led by David McDowell, the chief executive, who's actually serving on tables at our Cook and Dine event. If you're out there, be sure to give us a review. Subscribe on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts to be sure you never miss an episode. Keep your eyes and ears peeled for the next one. What I would say to you is, don't just play Paul's podcast once. Play it again, and the next time you see someone on the street or you hear someone being homelessness, get rid of that stereotype and realise that it could be any of us and that Only a Pavement Away is here to help them. So thank you, and we'll see you again soon.
Thank you so much.